talking about today. Lighting up the sky with praise. I want to give it a little. Am I coming through, Dill? I can't tell. Okay. I'm still not used to this thing here. Give a little intro. This is what we're talking about here. Everything that we saw today, this is just how awesome God is. He prepped this message. You got to see this message working in praise and worship today. What is the importance of praise and worship? I learned very early in my life when I got saved how important praise and worship is. Now, I enjoyed it. I loved it. I had a great time. It was apparent that praising and worshiping with the people of God was where it was at. Where God really flowed. Yes, he can flow when we do it ourselves. But where God really flowed in my life was during praise and worship with the people. But the problem is that I learned, there was never really any teaching. Even I had to learn. Through everything that's been going on with Holly and me as we've been going through this book that we've been going through and in getting ready for this message, I hope that everybody has taken this week and prepared like last message. Some things have evident. Things were different this week. And that is awesome because there was preparation. I know I prepared. I know. And have I got it down? No. None of us has got it down. We got a long way to go. But I'm excited. Raise your hands if you know what praise is. And I want to hear some answers and not from the leadership. Come on. I want to hear some answers. What do you think praise is? I'm sorry. You got a mask. I can't really hear you. I'm sorry. You can pull it down to say the answer. Your first part is exactly where I got, is exactly what Webster's 1829. Hey, I'm going to smack you for it. 1828. My pastor's got me hooked on this and you can get into a whirlpool of definitions. But what it reads is to extol in words or song, to magnify, to glory on account of perfections or excellent works. And then it gave a scripture at the bottom. Psalm 148:1. Praise him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. That is what praise is. To quote Bob Sorge from Exploring Worship, praise must be manifest before it is praised. The only exception to audible praise, then, is visible praise. If praise is not heard, then it must be seen. Praise can be spoken or it can be shown and expressed through animated bodily movement. This is why the quietness of dancing is a proper form of praise. If it's not heard, or if it's not seen, it's not praise. Praise is demonstrative. Praise is to extol in words or songs, to magnify the glory on account of the perfections or excellent works of God. Oh, God, it's so awesome. To extol in words or songs, to magnify, to glorify on account of perfections or excellent works. How many excellent works has he done? Even though we don't want to skip over salvation, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for salvation. But the fact that we have salvation, yes, that's an excellent work. But what other excellent works has he done? If you can honestly say he's done nothing, then I understand why you don't praise. If he has done the awesome, just being the person that he is, on account of perfections, he is perfection. He is awesomeness. He is the reason why we praise. This is slightly changing my message a little bit. I'm a little in a quandary here because I want to go off of what God has said, but I really need to hang on that. If God has done no excellent works and is not perfect in our eyes, then we have the right to not praise him. But because he is perfect, because he has done awesome things and works, we must praise. It says in scripture that if we don't, the rocks will. if the rocks who are inanimate, who have zero life, can see the awesome, perfect excellency that is God and can praise him, then why can't we? We're not a rock. We're not a bump on a log. We ain't a bunch of flies. We ain't a bunch of frogs just sitting around croaking, eating flies. We are human beings created for one purpose, to have a relationship with our God and King. And part of that relationship with the God and King is to praise his very existence. Because without his existence, we have zero existence. We would have never been created. We would have never been brought to life. We would never have... We wouldn't have what we have, and what we have is everything because God has given it to us. And if you can't praise him for that, I'm sorry, something is broken and you need to go in the shop and get it fixed. I don't know what else to say here. I'm going to read Psalm 98. Hold on a second. This one I didn't copy and paste into the, so I got to actually go into the app. It says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of the melody, with the trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King of the Lord. Let the sea roar, all that fills it, and the world, let the sea roar and all that fills it. The world and those who dwell in it, the rivers clap their hands, the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity." Amen. All right, we call ourselves streams. Why don't we clap at least? It says it right there. Let the rivers clap their hands. We're a stream that leads into a river. When we're together, we are a river. Why can't we clap? When we're a sea, when the rivers come together and create the seas and the oceans and the ponds and the lakes, and there's multitude, why can't we roar? Why do we go, "Praise God for all whom blessings flow. Praise God. Let me look at my phone. Let me smack my kid upside the head. Let me pay attention to whatever else has been distracting me. The argument that I may have had driving in. The job that is irking my nerves left and right. Let me pay attention to that and praise God for all whom blessings flow." No! That is not the way it's supposed to be. That is not the way that I can handle it anymore. This is going to be hard. Because I want to shout, I want to scream, I want to take my vocal cords to the very end, and I have none left. I hate to sound like... I will not apologize for the passion and the fervency that I have right now. I will not apologize for it. I would rather offend you than offend him. There's too much focus on offending you, people. There's too much about offending people than offending God. And I refuse any longer. So right now, if I am offending you, I take it up with him. Don't even bring it to me. Find his scripture. Facts don't care about your feelings. It's in the Word of God. If you're upset, take it to him. And I love you whether you're offended or not. I love you, and I implore you to check this out and get the conviction, the strike to the heart that I have, that the worship team has been getting for months, that is building to this culmination, that is built to messages being preached that we're going to be preaching this month. Please follow us as we follow him. It's a bumpy ride. It's a lot of places you've never been. And yes, we do. We trip up on our own feet. We get in our own way sometimes. But I'm telling you, the ride into where God wants to take us when it comes to actually knowing what praise is and the power we have in it. When we finally realize that, then the earth will no longer have to moan and groan to wonder when the sons of God are going to show, because they'll know we're here, because we'll be loud, we will be proud, and we ain't backing down. I hate to say it, when we come together in corporate worship, like I said last week, we need to be prepared. We need to prepare all the drudge, the dreck, the just mischief of the week. We need to prep that before we even walk in the door and lay it at his feet. Now, if you're an unbeliever and you walk into this building, for those of you listening who may want to visit, who don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, please, by all means, bring it in, lay it at the altar, get saved, accept Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, nail it to the cross and be done with it. But if you are a holy priesthood, a peculiar nation, if you are God's people, you should not be bringing in your garbage every week to dirty the house of God. You should be bringing your praise. You should be burning your garbage outside before you even walk in the door. Holding conversations, guys. Let me ask you a question. If you're talking to somebody, somebody just walks up, gets in front of you, and wants to have a conversation with the person you're talking to, you're a little ticked off, don't you? Something boils in you. Something boils in you, you know, or you're trying to talk to somebody and they just pick up the phone. Or you're trying to talk to you and they're like, ooh, shiny. I love that car that walks by. I love that car that drives by, or that guy or girl. Ooh, don't they look nice? I'm going to watch them as they walk away. How would you feel if you're having that conversation? If you're trying to spend time with that person and they're just ignoring the snot out of you. How do you think God feels when we come here corporately and we do it ourselves? As believers, I'm guilty of it too. There was a time back when I was dealing with a lot of things in my life, I'd sit in the back and I was here with my kids. I had a lot of pain going on, and I would be on my phone and I would pay attention to other things and not God. It's been 3 years of dealing with that and I'm no longer there, praise God. And I'm standing where I stand. Do I say that this is going to be instantaneous, but we need to work on this? Look, I get it. People need to talk to people. There are some things that are important, but as Holly has said to us many times about how God talks to her, do you want this or am I better? Do you want this phone, whatever, while you're here, or am I better? Not a hard question, I don't think. Look, if it's hard, look, I've done it before too. I've left my phone in the car. I need it for the Bible now. Now I use it for that, but I put it on silent. I don't care who text messages me. They can hear me later. When it comes to my kids, I will take them off and go deal with them, but I try to talk to them beforehand. When it comes to the weekly things that need to go on, we've got to do it elsewhere. We've got to do it before we come here, because when we come here with a purpose. We come here with a mission. Our mission is corporately to seek after our God, to enthrone him on our praises. And why? I'm going to tell you why. We're going to go to Exodus 34, 11 to 14. And it says, observe what I command you this day. Behold, I will drive out before you the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Take care lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land to which you go, lest it become a snare in your midst. You shall tear down their altars, break their pillars, and cut down their asherim. For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is Jealous is a jealous God. When we put anything, no matter how innocent, in front of God, he's jealous. He is jealous. You know what I think of when I think of jealousy? Think of the prototypical soap opera, where they get mad. They start coming at whoever, they catch somebody cheating. They're coming at them with knives or breaking their cars or bashing windows. They're chucking stuff. Like, you realize that God has the power, that if he really got jealous to go, here you are in his hand. But there's grace and mercy. How does it feel to be in the hand of a jealous God? But a loving God, a gracious God, a merciful God, who despite his jealousy will still love us. Though despite the fact that we don't pay attention to him, that we put other things in front of him, that he seeks after us even the more. Not snuff us out. That's the last thing he wants. But there are consequences. Please know. Eventually he will get you one-on-one. Elder Styles used to say this to me all the time. Eventually, everybody else has just got to step out of the way and God's got to deal with you. We don't want that. We want to nip that in the butt here and now. We want to, from this point on, work out daily what it is to be thankful and praise our God and King. Now I've sat here and I've said enough of what praise isn't. Praise is not sitting. Praise is not looking at our phone. Praise is not paying attention to our kids. Praise is not because they should know and go, look, I'm still training mine. We're all in training mode when it comes to our kids. We all get it, okay? Nobody is going to shun you. Nobody is going to look down upon you. We are all in training mode when it comes to kids. Shoot, we ourselves are in training mode. Let's just get it straight right there. Okay? But let's talk about what praise is. We're going to go to Psalm 150, 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. Praise the God in His sanctuary. This is His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. The angels also do that, but also what's happening in heaven happens on earth. It's in Scripture. So we praise Him. Consider this Kingdom of Heaven, Earthbound edition. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the trumpet sound. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Not just sounding cymbals. Oh, they sound nice. Loud, banging, blow your eardrum, gong type cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Do you have breath, church? Yeah. Then why are we not praising God the way that we're supposed to? Might be constricted breath with masks, but you still have breath. Also, praise has nothing to do with your feelings. Right now I'm emotional. I'm fired up. But even if I wasn't and I've had the week of craptastic weeks that could ever happen, and I don't feel like praising God because I don't wanna. Don't matter what you want. We're told to praise. Has nothing to do with your feelings. You could feel like taking a nap. God could have other plans. He wants your praise. He wants it. There is power in it. He lives in it. He is enthroned on it. Now, why is it vital for us to change this mindset? Look at the battles of Joshua, of Gideon, and Jehoshaphat. They had their armies, and in a lot of cases, they were outnumbered. Joshua's case is a big old wall they couldn't knock down. What did God tell them to do? Yes, there were things that they had to do leading up to the battle, but the final act of the battle, what caused the enemies to fight amongst themselves, to kill each other, to run away, and the walls to crumble, all for the Israelites to walk in and just clean up the spoil. What had to happen? There was praise, and there was a shout. There was trumpets blaring, there was a shout of praise, and then, you know, science would love to say that the resonance vibrations caused the wall to fall down. Okay, I can go with that. You wonder why? Because I know who controls the resonant vibrations, and I know who can bring it all down, and that is our God and our King. It doesn't matter how loud you are, God can make you louder. It doesn't matter how meek you think you are, God can make you victorious. And just loud and proud and not going anywhere. That shout of praise, the church has forgotten about the shout of praise. Walls crumble. Enemies fight themselves. We don't have to battle it. We just get to clean up the spoils. And just in the matter of the Jehoshaphat one, they were cleaning up spoils for 3 days. Imagine that blessing. Praise God, God kills your enemies and you get so much blessings, it takes you 3 days just to sift through it and go, what do we got? That's the awesomeness. So I'm going to go back to the beloved Webster's Dictionary. What is shout? What does that word shout really mean? It means to utter a sudden and loud outcry, usually in joy. Yelling at your kids is not a shout. okay? Unless it's joy, like you're yelling at your kids about how awesome something is. But yelling at your kids because they've done something wrong is not shouting. That is yelling. Shouting. Hear what that says again. A loud outcry, usually in joy, triumph, or exaltation, to animate soldiers in an onset. It also means a loud burst of voice or voices, a vehement and sudden outcry, particularly of a multitude of men expressing joy, triumph, exaltation, or animated courage. It is sometimes intended in derision. Gotta have that courage. We all have that courage. We have, it's animated. It's not, yay, hurrah, hurrah. You know, like, Aladdin, Jafar, Jafar, if he can't do it, great! Okay, it is loud, like you heard today, where, like, if I was to actually do that shout in the microphone, it would have blown out, it would have redlined, it would have done things. I had to back up so that I could yell. Yes, I have louder vocal cords. I know I can project. But that doesn't make my shout any more powerful than yours. When you shout with everything from the toes to the head and you let it out, I want to look at another word that was in the definition, vehement. That one stuck at me when I'm reading the dictionary. What does vehement mean? And the first word that shows up in the vehement dictionary is violent. Acting with great force, furious, very forcible, as a vehement wind, a vehement torrent, a vehement fire, or heat. It also means very ardent, very eager, or urgent, very fervent, as a vehement affection, passion, vehement desire, or vehement eloquence. Just going to remind you of one scripture, Matthew 11:12. When the kingdom of heaven suffers violent, the violent take force, the vehement take it by force. But we don't need to take it by force, with actual physical force. It's that shout of praise. We take it. They can come at us with everything they got. They can try to take us down. They can try to take our lives physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. They can try to do it all, but with a loud, vehement, violent shout, we can blow it all away. Actually, watch it turn on itself and it eat its own. I want to see that power again in us, in me. Because even today, this is not doing it justice. Not what the scriptures have shown, because if we were really shouting the way we were supposed to, maybe the walls should have fell down on this building. Maybe there should have been an earthquake that people outside this building and in the areas of this town and the houses down on other streets should have felt the vibrations. If we're truly shouting that way, people will know. Not because we're shouting, but because of who we're shouting for. What's the old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease? Well, the loud body of Christ grows. The shouting body of Christ grows. The shouting body of Christ has victory. I'm going to bring up something that I hadn't thought about. We're going to go through these real quick, these next three scriptures. I'm going to read them, and then I'm going to talk about what they have to say. Something that I learned, a revelation that I had not seen before, when it comes to the shout. Matthew 27:50-54. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Just at a shout. Were raised. Coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared. And many, and went to say it a little too far. Didn't need to go in that part. Mark 15:37, and Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. Luke 23:46, then Jesus, calling out with the loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Jesus uttered a loud cry or a shout, and it was finished. Anybody, I give a quick explanation as to what this means. Anybody who might not know or seen, you know, the Passion of Christ, but when they put the nails in his hands, number one, he's already been scourged, so he'd been whipped a bunch of times and been bleeding. Loss of blood, he was weak, he carried his own cross to the top of, Golgotha. He had carried it up there. They nailed him to it, and he's hanging there. Now, he's hanging on his wrist because, obviously, they say hands, but if it was the hands, it would split right through the skin. So right here in between the bones on the wrist and on his feet, he had nails. Now, he's hanging there. Every time he wanted to speak because of the blood that was already all over and how weak he was, when you hang enough like this, you asphyxiate. And if you wanted to speak, he had to pull himself up and in his weakness, say something. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm pulling against a spike in my arm and pushing on a spike in my, that's going to be a lot of pain. And I'm not just going to go, hey, it's finished. I'm going to yell, it's finished! Because you're going to push every last bit you have out because you know that the minute you drop down, you may not have any another breath to pull up. Okay? Jesus shouted, it is finished. Father, into your hands I commit myself. And the veil was torn. Rocks split. Think of that kind of vibration that would have had to have happened for rocks to split. And we're not talking little pebble on the ground. We're talking all over Jerusalem. There's these big rocks. Like they're rock. Okay? They split. And in the tombs, they didn't just, it wasn't like our places where it's like a locked door or holes in the ground. They put massive stones in front of their tombs. So they broke open and bodies were walking out that were dead. And it just says saints that had fallen asleep. Doesn't give time frame. Some of them could have been kind of rank. But that's just awesomeness right there. That nobody walked over and said, in Jesus' name, rise up. It was a shout. And they walked out. That is the power of a shout. That is the power that we wield when we shout the praises of God. And believe it when we're doing it. If you're not believing it, your shout means nothing. You might as well just shout at a sports team, whichever one you pick, and just go hoo-ha, hurrah, yay, touchdown. Huh? Field goal, right? Field, hey. Kick a field goal of Jesus through the uprights. but we need to have, we need to believe. We need, as Elder Stiles said, knowing our knower. You know, is the truth you believe truly what you believe? Which was from Truth Project. These things have been said over and over again. If you truly believe it, and you truly believe that you have salvation, if you truly believe that you have every bit of the power and resurrection power in your veins that Jesus had because of Jesus who is in us, then the shouts and the praises should be easy. We should not be sitting. I get knees could hurt. You could have bad backs. One, I go, why aren't you coming up here and getting prayer to begin with? Let's cut that at the butt right there. Let's get you healed in the name of Jesus. But even in that case, I've seen people who are injured still, when the Spirit of God is moving, get up and move. And even if you can't stand, praise God for just sitting there singing, mumbling the words is, I mean, you can be animate and not stand if you are unable to do so. You can still shout with everything you got. You can still clang the tambourine. I don't need to stand to play my guitar. Somebody who doesn't have legs or has the use of their legs can play a guitar and sing to God without ever standing because it's heard. It's got to be heard. If they're not hearing it, then are you really praising? And that's not about puffing us up. That's not about puffing us up. Because there is a scripture that says that's different. What the Pharisees were doing, that's totally different than this. If we truly believe what we say we believe, then they should be sick and tired of hearing from us. They're not. They're just sick and tired of us. Because we're not praising God. We're just here, whatever. You know, I'm here. That's just it. Yeah, they mock us because they know more of our scriptures than we do half the time. Granted, they twist them. Okay, but they know it enough to twist it. And we sit there and go, oh, maybe I should sit over here and be quiet. No, shout in their face the glory of God. Don't back down. Watch them walls crumble. Watch the walls around their hearts crumble. How do we expect to get into these hardened hearts, these hearts that, look, we all know it. We've put up our own little boxes in our towers to protect our hearts because of how we've been hurt. Just like it crumbles ours when we shout praise, how do we expect to, for the Holy Spirit to get to them if we're not going to shout loud enough to break the strongholds in theirs? It is a detriment that we cannot be silent anymore. And just to give a side note on what the shout of praise looks like, even when, how it can even affect things when you're not there. Paul and Silas, sitting in a jail. They're praising God. By themselves, it's just two of them, maybe a couple of the jailbirds that were with them, they got into it as well. But they're shouting, they're praising God, and well, the shackles broke, the door opened, the prison fell, they're like, well, and then the jailer, who wasn't even really around, he comes running, goes, oh boy, here, you might as well, like, I'm gonna fall on my sword, I might as well kill myself, I'm screwed. And they're like, well, we didn't go anywhere, we're still here. And then Paul and Silas got set free, but then that jailer and his family got saved. And then they got baptized. What we do here or in our lives, where we shout praise, does not mean that right here is where the effect of the praise will happen. The effects of that shout could be further away. Because sound waves travel. If you know anything about nuclear physics or sound waves or how radio waves work, it all travels. And the louder we shout, the further it goes. And then there's God who can push it even further. Because he created the physics to understand it to begin with. The earth division of the kingdom of heaven. That is what we are. We are the earth division of the kingdom of heaven. Has forgotten this. And it is to our ruin if we do not fix this. The shout of praise is the spiritual equivalent to an WMD, weapon of mass destruction. You ever see a bomb go off? Old pictures of Hiroshima, the mushroom cloud went up and then the shock wave to the side. That is what the shout of praise is. It goes up to our God with that cloud and then it goes out at the same time. And decimates whatever's in its way. So that we can then, as more than conquerors, walk in and get the spoils. Whether that's bringing people to Christ, or that's actual blessings and strongholds out of our way now. We have forgotten this. We've left it collecting dust. And I ask, look, this is where it comes again. I'd rather offend him than offend you, but if you truly believe what you say you believe, why is it collecting dust? I really don't want to be that guy that sits there and points, 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 points. But the elephant is in the room and he's made a huge mess. And it's time that we fix this. Wheel that WMD out and we practice with it and we use it. We use it at our homes, at our jobs. Yeah, are people going to think we're nuts? Good. I can shout in my truck. I shout all the time. I got a camera sitting there. They've asked me before what I'm doing. I'm like, I'm praising God. I'm singing. Oh, well, we can't hear what you're doing. We can just see it. We thought you were talking to somebody. No. Well, yes, but not physical. You know, we got to do it, guys. I really don't mean to be harsh on this. God wants us to utilize this shout of praise so that he can bring forth what he wants to bring forth on earth as it is in heaven. He tells them to shout. The angels are shouting. They're blowing trumpets. They're praising God on earth as it is in heaven. If we want it to move down here like it's moving up there, then guys, we need to grab hold and we need to just do it. We need to screw what anybody else thinks. And we used to tell that to our kids all the time, you know, forget what other people think. It doesn't matter. Well, somewhere along the lines, as we got older, we actually started caring what other people think. I struggle with it. Believe me, I struggle with it. I struggle with it daily. I'm trying to put a podcast together. I'm trying to, as God has led me to do so. Like, it's not like I'm doing it without God. I'm doing these things, and I do worry about what are people going to think? What are the, and sometimes you just got to go, well, you know what? I don't care. I tell my kids all the time, my kids come up to me and they're like, well, you should validate me. Why? I shouldn't validate you. God should. God should be extolling you. God should be exhorting you. You should not care what anybody on this planet thinks about you. You should care about what God thinks about you. And if you do that, and granted, it's very hard to do. I'm still learning. I'm still meeting with, even though we play board games, a man that knows every bit of my life is Pastor Gary right over here. And he knows more about me, and if he needs to put the foot up, he does. If he needs to smack me upside the head, he does. And I'm learning with, through my time with our worship leader, Holly. I've got a long way to go. And as Elder Styles, you say all the time, I'm just a half step ahead of you. We'll say I got maybe a pinky toe ahead of you. I know where I'm at. I'm honest. There are many of those who've gone further before me. And I'm happy to be where I'm at. I'm happy to not be stuck in chains. And we should shout that. I really don't mean to be harsh, but we really have to start praising our jealous God the way that we are supposed to. He is jealous. If he wanted to, he could end us. He proved it with the flood. But he showed mercy and continued life and said he would never do it again and then brought us salvation. If he wanted to, he could. But what he wants more is us. He wants our attention. He wants our fervency. He wants us to vehemently run after him. Violently seek after him. Violently shout his praises. Declare his glory. And I hate to say it, but if you're not going to do it here, you're not going to do it out there. And the vice versa is true. If you're not going to do it at your home, you're not going to do it here. It all... I'm a logical person. I love watching people and seeing things and seeing how things match up. But you can't have one without the other. If you're not doing it when you're solo, you're not going to do it when we're all together. And if you're not going to do it when we're all together, you're not going to do it when we step out the doors. And it really counts for the people who are groaning and moaning to see God, see the people of God, truly seek after God. Those who want to see it, they're not going to see it because we're not doing it here and we're not doing it at home. I want so bad that every time we shout, another wall is broken and another person comes to Christ. I want every time we shout to God that the enemies that have been coming after us, they can't even stand in the wake of it. I want to shout for God and I want to see the kingdom of heaven, the borders of it to grow further in this country. First in this town. Then our county, then our state, and then our country. Like I've said before, we are right in the middle of Williamstown. If you look at the map of Williamstown, you look where we are dead center. When things generally grow, they grow all sides equally. Now granted, Williamstown is not shaped perfect, but think about that. It's all growing and it's going to hit all, if it's growing through the shouts, it will eventually encompass it all. It's not going to just grow on one side and not on the other. It's going to grow all of it. I want to see the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. Which in heaven, there is just the kingdom. It's not called the kingdom of heaven up there. It's just called the kingdom. I want to be down here and I want the kingdom down here. I want our God enthroned everywhere here. Because where it isn't going to matter who the president is. Hate to say it, guys. Doesn't matter who the president is. Nothing changed. We still got work to do, and we've been slacking at it, and we got to get back to it. We got a job to do. I slacked at it. We've all slacked at it. Let's pick up our gear and go. Let's remember why we're here. Let's remember why we came to Christ to begin with. Our life's absolutely sucked. We sucked at life. We sucked at walking life, and we needed our Savior to get us through it. On that alone, we should be praising Him. Because, like I said in the beginning, can you say that God has done nothing for you? Because if you can, then you have the right to not praise. But then I question, why are you here anyway? I know for a fact God has done awesome things in each and every one of us. Awesome things. The very fact that we are alive today is fact of how awesome God is. So for that alone, not to mention his perfectness, we should be praising him. Go back a little bit to that song that was up here, The Bridge, where it said, never seen such lions led by lambs. Lambs, though they can make their noise and be kind of loud, compared to a lion roar, is silence. If you ever heard a lion fully roar, our God, our King, our Savior is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Which means worshiper, by the way. I did have to look that up. Okay, we are a part of that, and he is in us. Why are we sounding like sheep when we got a lion in front of us? In us? Why are we, praise God for whom all blessings flow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God for whom all blessings flow. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That is where we're supposed to be. The meekness, the shyness. I don't even want to call it meekness. The shyness and the fear needs to stop. We sang the words today. Are we gonna, you know, the fear is not gonna get in our way anymore. Do you mean that? I know I add that in there because it does it. The fear cannot. I kind of change it when I sing it that I add cannot stand against us or whatever. I forget, I'm brain farting at the moment, but I do put in there that it cannot do it. Those words that I add are not there, but that's what I believe. That spirit of fear has nothing on my God, has nothing on my King, has nothing on the Holy Spirit, has nothing on my Savior. And that spirit of fear can't stand in the wake of the shout of praise to my God and King. Again, I will reiterate this over and over again. I do not mean to seem like this is a bashing, because I'm right there with you. God is breaking me on this. It's been happening to me first. We've been talking about it for weeks, me and Holly. Me and God have been talking about it. Me and the Holy Spirit have been talking about it. I've been listening, because sometimes he's had to tell me to shut up and listen. I am right there with you. I'm in the boat with you. But we don't need to stand there and take it anymore. Our God is enthroned on our praises. That should even more make us want to shout so that he goes even higher. I really have, at that point, nothing else to say on the subject. I could keep pounding the same things over and over again, and I could, you know, become a clanging cymbal and become, you're not listening to me anymore. But I will close in this. I would rather be offended, I would rather offend God than offend you. I'm brain farting. I'm getting ahead of myself. I would rather offend you than offend God. I'm sorry. That was all wrong. I would rather offend God I would rather not offend God. I don't want to offend God. He is a jealous God and he deserves our attention. I mean, he created us. He breathed life into us. He knew our names and what we were going to be before he even allowed us to grow in the womb. And he protected us. I know for me, I was almost aborted. God didn't let it happen. I will shout for my God and King. Will you join me? We haven't been doing our job as worshipers. And there's things that need to change. We all know what that means. When we realize that we haven't been doing what we're supposed to, then we repent. We repent of our disobedience. We repent to God for giving attention to other things. We repent for not following after his word, what it says. And then it's done, it's cut, it's under the blood. He's faithful and just to forgive us. And then we go on and we walk the other way. Or just leave it where it is and go on where God has been wanting us to go. I want to see the world have its foundation rocked, split open and destroyed at the very shout of praise by God's people. I want to see cops take felons to churches to get saved instead of going to court or jail first. They still got to pay for their consequences, but I'd like to see them get saved before they went in there. So that God can take that time to change them. And, you know, prison ministry always is good too. The line is in the sand, guys. It is. If you haven't realized, with the current state of the way this world is going, it is going to get far worse before it ever gets any better, before we get out of here. We voted for a president. Look, guys, I know we all wanted who we wanted to win. Maybe you got who you wanted to win. I don't know, but it doesn't matter because God has promised us in his word, has told us in his word that it's going to get worse before we get out of here. It'll get far worse. You think it's bad now. I want to see when we're doing what we're supposed to, the foundations of this very world are rocked, shook, broken, and those who are in prison released. And I mean in prison for all things. And they all get salvation. I don't mean if it's mental, physical, spiritual, whatever prison you've locked yourself into, have it broken, destroyed, shattered, and you can walk on out and be done with it. So the line is in the sand. I give a challenge. You can do it here. You can do it at home. Really, truly seek what needs to change. What is in the way? Do you need just remove distractions, however they are? What distractions need to be removed? What distractions do you need to learn to ignore? Because some just can't be removed. Paul had a thorn in his side. He couldn't remove it. It was there. Are you going to let it distract you, or are you just going to ignore it and do what God tells you to do? I want to see, I have this vision of just when God's people start shouting, just traffic just stops in the middle of 42. Or 322, whatever it is right there. Both directions just stops. And the people just walk to where they're seeing God. And hearing God's people. I want to see that. I want to see the world stop because God. Just that. I want to see the world stop just because God. That's what I got for you guys. I love you all. Please, please know that I say this out of love. Yes, there's passion. Yes, I'm fired up because of what God was doing this morning and has been doing all week and is going to continue to do from this point on. I'm fired up and I want to cry and I want to shout and I want to laugh and it, like, just everything is all there and I want to see it happen. But I'm telling you guys, I'm not supposed to be alone. We're all supposed to be doing this together. So I'm hoping from this point on, like I said, whenever we stop, the altar is always open for prayer. Don't leave. If God is pricking your heart, don't leave. Don't leave the same way you came in. Don't leave without God showing you you're already unshackled and guiding you out of the prison to begin with. Don't leave without that. Because just as much as God wants your shout and desires your shout and longs for your praise, I need you to do it just as much as I need to do it. I love you guys.